Oh, we're gonna sit right here this morning. I have a question. Where do you think God is? Where's God?
Heaven.
Heaven? Where else is God?
Heart.
In your heart? Where do you think God is?
God is with me.
With you? That's a good answer too. Briley, where do you think God is? You think about it, okay? I'm going to share this little book. Pardon me. God is everywhere. I found this at my house. I bet I read it to my kids when they were little. Have you ever wondered where God lives?
With home.
If sometimes he seems far away in his home in heaven.
But look, he comes back.
Look around you. God is everywhere. You see his face in the wild flowers. He's looking at the flowers. You feel his touch in the gentle rain. You hear his voice in the murmuring winds. Even in small secret places, he's always near. His miracles are small as a tiny little snowflake. And they're as great as a sky full of stars. Yeah, they're going for a ride. God brings the spirit of joy into your home.
To you.
And the spirit of peace and thanksgiving when you go to church to worship. When you speak to God, he guides us. How do we speak to God?
I don't know.
In prayer, when we pray to God. God is our strength when things don't go right. And he's our comfort when we're lonely or sad.
Why sad?
When you're kind and thoughtful, you are helping to do God's work. And in return, he sends you the gift of happiness. God is in every one of us, and he's in our friends who like us for just who we are.
Why sad?
God is in our parents who help us grow up, and they love us always. God is in those who think and act as we do. And even in those who may be different from us, God loves us all.
Why?
God is love, and he lives everywhere there is love.
Aww.
Most of all, God lives in your heart.
He lives in all my heart.
Will you say a little echo prayer with me? Briley, you want to pray with us? Can you fold your hands and say a prayer? Will you repeat after me? Dear God.
Dear God.
First, we thank you for Jesus.
First, we thank you for Jesus.
And we know you are with us, God, when we're happy. And you're with us when we're sad. When we speak to you in prayer, you will guide us. Even though we are very little, we will help you to do your work by being kind to one another. Amen. Thank you.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. And please rise for the reading of our gospel, which comes from Luke 2, verses 21 through 38. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all whom were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. You may be seated.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you teach us in your word. Lord, we ask this morning you pour your spirit down upon Pastor Zach. Pour your spirit upon us. Open our hearts and minds to receive your message, to help us understand what you're telling us through your scripture. Father, help any nervousness or jitters go away from Pastor Zach. We say this and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is so wonderful to be here with you today, and Happy New Year. We are celebrating Epiphany today, when Jesus, the light of the world, is revealed. And in today's scripture, he's presented at the temple by his parents. And we meet two prophetic figures who are there just at the right time. The old man Simeon and the old woman, the prophet Anna. And as I was preparing for today's sermon, I looked back on how much I enjoyed with several of you here in the church with our Meals at the Margins, the Messiah Bible study that we did last summer. And there was a moment in our fourth lesson where we were celebrating a Sabbath meal. And I had some special guests that came to speak to us about their practice and discipline of Sabbath. Julia's mother, her stepfather Gary, and her Aaron and Gary practice Shabbat every Friday at sundown, and so they shared with us about their practice of Shabbat. So Gary brought some candles and his tallit, his prayer shawl, and for that particular Meals at the Margins of the Messiah lesson, my wife Julia and the kids were there as well too, and we had a wonderful time. But there was this wonderful moment where at the beginning of the study, we started off with a hymn from Luke, and the hymn that day was Simeon's song that we just heard earlier. And as we said that, I paused and I said, "Hold on a second, Gary. Can you put your prayer shawl back on? I want to try something. I want for us to enter into the story and imagine we're right there." And Julia, I want you to imagine that you are Mary and you are handing Ezra, our son. We're going to pretend that Ezra is Jesus and Gary is Simeon. And Karen, you're Anna. And so I just wanted to show you this picture. It was really cool, but just imagine what it might have been like. He comes at the right place at the right time. And everything he's been waiting for is in this infant, this baby, this Jesus. The one that God sent to save the world from sin and death. The one who would be the faithful Son of God and Son of Man. The Son of the Most High. The Lord, Emmanuel, God with us. And today's the first of a new series in our narrative lectionary messages. And for the rest of this month, it's going to be focused on the theme of Jesus being revealed. And so today, Jesus is revealed to Simeon and Anna. And next week, we're going to hear from Kathy Jordan. And we're going to learn about how Jesus reveals his mission that God sends him for his ministry. And we're going to learn more about how Jesus is revealed as the Son of God and the Son of Man. And then later on in February, we're going to continue and learn about Jesus' ministry of healing and forgiveness. And as we get into Lent, we're going to learn and focus on Jesus' journey in the Gospel of Luke, the journey to Jerusalem and his journey to the cross. And the reason why I'm sharing about what's coming up is that in Luke's gospel, in the first two chapters, which are kind of like a prologue, it's the infancy, it's a narrative of Jesus. There's this funny thing that happens in Luke's gospel. And when something really important happens or somebody has something really important to say, they're actually, they pause, and instead of a narrative, it goes to poetry or song. It's kind of like a musical. How many of you like musicals? The first two chapters of Luke are kind of like a musical, an overture, if you will. And it reveals the prophetic themes and this grand vision of the will of God and the salvation that he sends Jesus to bring us. And there's five hymns in the Gospel of Luke. We hear hymns from Elizabeth and from Mary and from Zechariah and from the angels. And the last song we hear is from Simeon. And that's where I wanted for us to focus. So let's learn more about Simeon. It says in verse 25 that Simeon, this man was righteous and devout, that he was both obedient and faithful. He was in right relationship with God and right relationship with others. And he was devout, so you could count on him. And this is what jumped out at me. This was the verb in the text that I honed in on as I prepared for this sermon. And I thought it was apropos for us as we are in the new year, because the verb is looking forward. It's a new year, right? 2017. How many of you are looking forward to this new year? Some of us are just looking forward to this new year because it's not 2016. Some of us are looking forward to this new year because we have things we want to accomplish. Some of us are looking forward to things this year because we want to grow in our faith. But Simeon was looking forward to the consolation or the comfort or the strengthening, the deliverance of Israel, the children of God, the people of God. And it says the Holy Spirit rested on him. When we look forward to the coming of Jesus in our lives, when we look forward to the comfort and the strengthening of God's people today, the Holy Spirit can rest on you and I. Isn't that great news? That the presence of God can rest upon us just like Simeon. And for Simeon in verse 26, it says that this had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And then in verse 27, it says he's guided by the Spirit And so at the right place at the right time, he comes into the busy temple, this large complex that was the hub of Jerusalem's activity among the Jewish community. And yet, he was there at the right place at the right time because he was guided by the Holy Spirit. And he bumped right in to Mary and Joseph as they came in to fulfill the law, to be devout and faithful themselves, and to raise their child right, and to incorporate him into their faith community through circumcision, much like we do with baptism today. And Simeon took the child in his arms, and he praised God. And this is his song, and this is our focus for today. He says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." What a song. That he has seen the salvation of God in this infant, in Jesus, who hasn't even done anything yet. All he's been is born and carried everywhere by his parents. And yet he is the King, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior, our Lord already, even as an infant in Luke's gospel. Because in Luke's gospel, salvation is today and here and now and is unfolding wherever Jesus goes. The other thing that he shares that was astounding to people as they heard it was that Jesus, this salvation in Jesus, that Jesus is our salvation, and Jesus was the means of how God was going to bring salvation through his life, his death, and resurrection, as we now know. But Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the outsiders, to the non-Jews. So to hear that in the middle of the temple would have perked people's ears. It would have been a challenging thing to hear. Now, Abraham was given promises of God, right, in Genesis, that his descendants would be a blessing to all nations. So that would include the Gentiles as well. But God wants to bring salvation through Christ as light for revelation, to show who God is to the Gentiles who might not know God. And that will be glory for God's people, Israel. It's not just about the people in the temple or the people in the church building, but it's about sharing the light of Christ with the world. Amen? To bring in the last, the least, the lost, the excluded, the disadvantaged, the oppressed, even the people we see as our enemies. That God loves all of humanity and sent Jesus to save every single one of us if we are willing to receive that invitation and align our lives with the will of God in Jesus Christ. So he sees salvation in Jesus. And this salvation is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel, he says. But here's the funny thing. What happens next is Mary and Joseph, they're amazed. They're astounded. And in Luke's gospel, if you're amazed and astounded, that's not always a positive thing. Sometimes when people oppose Jesus, they're amazed at what he's saying because they can't believe it. They can't accept it. And Mary, earlier in her song, she talked about, she sung as if God was already accomplishing what he promised to do. That she was using a past tense or an aorist tense in that. That it was already done and God was accomplishing it right now. But now even she's amazed. And so Simeon blesses them and turns to them and is operating more as a prophet under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He kind of reads her mail and says to her, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed." This is starting to introduce more conflict into the plot, into the story in Luke's gospel. That there's going to be opposition And the opposition isn't necessarily coming from outside the Jews, but coming from within the Jewish faith, within the Jewish leadership, as we're going to see with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, with the people who are uncomfortable with the good news of Jesus being good news for the poor when they're in status privilege. No. He turns to Mary and says that he will be a sign that will be opposed. And here's the reason, the so that, in verse 35, that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So that the thoughts of many will be revealed. See, Jesus comes to shine light into the darkness. And some people who are self-deceived or are deceiving others, they don't like to come out of that darkness. They like having the shiny outside life. They like people to think highly of them. But if people saw what was really in their hearts and what their motives truly were, they would run for cover and try to hide. But praise God, Jesus shines light into our hearts and into our lives, that his word and his Holy Spirit reveal the truth to us. Amen. He shows us what God's like, how powerful God's love is, and how much God loves us. And that love is so powerful and so radiant that God does not leave us as we are, but that God wants to redeem us and restore us and comfort us and strengthen us and sanctify us. That's such good news. And when Simeon says this to Mary, it made me think of one of my favorite scriptures in Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Is the word of God in your life and through the people that love you in Christ? Does the word of God pierce your heart and penetrate your soul? Does the word of God shine into your life to show you the things that you might not be aware of that God wants you to change? Or to show you the people that you might be overlooking, or the people that you need to forgive, or the people that you need to be grateful for and to encourage them or to thank them for how God is showing and caring for you through that relationship? So Simeon, he has the song, and then he has the prophetic word and the warning about how Jesus is going to be faced with much opposition. And it's even going to probe Mary's heart and to cause her to rethink her life and even cause her suffering. But then Anna comes, and there was this prophet Anna. And the interesting thing is, she's from the tribe of Asher, one of the northern tribes that was carried off into exile long before Judah was carried into exile to Babylon. And so she's part of that remnant of the lost tribes of Israel. And she was of great age, and she had lived with her husband for 7 years. But then instead of getting remarried, she was a true widow, and she devoted herself in fasting and prayer and was always present at the temple with eager anticipation, putting her hope in God for the redemption and salvation to come that she longed for, that she found in Jesus on this day. She reminds us of Hannah. Actually, her name is the same as Hannah. Hannah, who trusted God and dedicated her son that wasn't even born yet, wasn't even conceived, to God. She came in that to worship at what they thought of as the temple. Before, in that tabernacle, she came to dedicate herself to God in fasting and in prayer. And God answered her prayer. And in the same way, God answered Anna's prayer. And at the age of 84, she came at the right time, the right place, and began to praise God once she saw Jesus. And she didn't hang around. She went out into the community. She went out to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, for the place of God, for the community of God's people. She went out into the world with that good news, just like the shepherds did. Simeon had a song just like the angels and Mary. And Anna had a message and a testimony and a story to tell, just like the shepherds we heard earlier in Luke 2. So that's the good news for us. What are you looking forward to this year? What are you eagerly expecting? What does God have in store for your life? Where do you need consolation and comfort? Where do you need deliverance and redemption? Where do you need hope that will carry you through and help you have faith in the present? Friends, it's in Jesus Christ. He is our salvation, not just back then in the Bible times, but today, even right now in this moment. And as United Methodists, our local mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community. Amen? Amen. So as we share Christ with one another in the church, and we make disciples together of one another, and we grow in our faith, then as we go out into the world through these redeemed relationships in Christ as disciples, we have a story to share and a testimony to tell, to share with other people who might not know that they're waiting for God, but they're looking forward to restoration and renewal and redemption for our own community, amen? That everyone wants to see our community grow and thrive and flourish, whether we're Christians or not, right? But as we take the love of Jesus out into this community and to serve others, and especially to be good news for the poor through our words and deeds, and to meet Jesus in the eyes of other people outside the church, that we can be like Anna, and we can go share the good news with everyone and all that we say and do. Thanks be to God. Amen. To behold Jesus in his presence with us in this bread and cup. We behold Jesus not just as an infant, but as our Lord and Savior. And we are welcomed by him as we are. All of us who are looking for comfort and consolation and encouragement and redemption and a fresh start for this new year.
Bow to babe on bended knee. No.
We give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Let us sing our final hymn. It's Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Hymn number 171. Now you are dismissing us, your servants, in peace, according to your word. For we with our eyes, in our hearts, and in your presence with us have seen your salvation in Jesus Christ, whom you've prepared in the presence of all peoples of this earth, so that we, the body of Christ, may be a light for revelation to the Gentiles and everyone outside of your church. For the glory of all of your children, the faithful people of God in the true Israel. And so, friends, may the God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.